Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Salita on the Say Your Peace Radio Network, and this is our show, Through the Eyes of the Black Woman. Tonight, you guys, as you know, this month is Women's History Month, and we are celebrating our women. And I've had an awesome interviews with some awesome people. So tonight, to add on to what we've already done, we have Ms. Sonia Sales. She is the founder of Elite Institute of Development, Inc., a leadership training and development firm where women learn strategies to increase productivity, knowledge, and add value to their business and life. She's a unique entrepreneur led by God, compassion, and a purposeful drive to assist women in finding their voice by becoming empowered. Okay, she says she's also a passionate about assisting women as they develop the skills needed to grow and succeed in life. Now, hello, Ms. Sales.
Hello.
How are you tonight?
I am great. Thank you.
Now, you know, listeners, you can call in and ask questions at any time at 347-677-1749. And I would like to let you know, Ms. Sales, when we get through with the show, you can always send people back to listen anytime you want. You can add this to your portfolio if you wanted to. I think it would be a great idea to do because it's my show. And I also found out as I was reading something, you are a host of your own show, huh?
Yes, ma'am, I am. I actually had my show today.
Okay.
Breakfast Hour Radio. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I need to make sure I take note of that. Now, what time do you come on?
I come on right now. It's every Thursday at 4 p.m. Central Standard Time. Starting
okay,
in
okay.
We will go to 7 p.m. Central Standard
okay.
Time.
Okay. Oh, okay, so you're going in my time slot. Okay, cool. Look, stepping on my territory. You know how we get territorial. But anyway, that's good because it needs to be a lot of us on there anyway. I think it's an awesome idea. Now, so you know what? Your whole concept and your foundation and everything that you're doing is the same foundation I actually started another business. It was called Handling Your Business. And it was spelled like the hip kind of way, Handling Your Business. That's how I called it. And the same concept you used, that was my concept. I think it's excellent because I wrote a couple of books to go with it, and I just didn't, I just kind of, okay, I accomplished that type thing. So I set it to the side and I didn't do anything else. But in the meantime, I steady help women try to do their thing. The same way you're doing, I think it's an awesome job that you actually took it a step further, and you are the founder of Elite Institute of Development. Now, tell me more about that. What, first of all, let's talk about what led you to the idea that this is what you wanted to do.
Well, what actually led me to the idea was I found myself being in a situation where I had low self-worth, low self-esteem. I didn't know who I was as a woman, and I found myself on a journey of hiring a personal coach to assist me. And during our discovery, she discovered that throughout my life, I had indeed been coaching clients. So she was like, honey, you are a coach. And I was like, what? So she was like, yes. So I began to, as I discovered more about myself and was becoming one with me, I set out on a journey to start a spiritual life coaching practice. So Elite started out as Choose to Empower, a faith-based coaching firm, and it was basically just a tiny coaching practice. And in 2011, it had evolved into a corporation, and the Lord changed its name to Elite Institute of Development, Inc.
Man. Now, how many women do you deal with on a daily basis?
Well, you know what? My biggest platform right now, the Lord is using me over the internet via these social sites such as Facebook on a regular but daily basis. I've had several women that come to me, and they just really express to me the issues of life. What I notice is a lot of leaders are coming to me in ministry who are overwhelmed, who have their own struggles, but yet they're trying to assist others as well. And just today I had to mentor and give some encouraging words to another leader who was going through. So it's on a daily basis, whether it's on the internet, whether it's through the business, whether it's just being in the grocery store or, you know, just going shopping. God has really drawn individuals to me to where they're really comfortable and just pouring out their life issues to me right on the spot.
Uh-huh. Okay. Now, talk about your experience.
My experience, well,
go ahead.
Well, my experience is, you know, first and foremost, I tell people I'm a servant of the Lord. I don't get caught up in titles or paper because when God has ordained you to do something, you go forth and do it with excellence. Throughout the years, I have over 10-plus years experience as a service provider. And I got my experiences by doing various jobs, whether I was serving in hospitality, whether I was working in the medical field, or through now where it's my business. So he just has used me over the years to mentor individuals all the way from all over the United States, all the way into Uganda, Africa, et cetera. And once again, those individuals are leaders for the most part.
Oh, man. So what about a person like me? I don't consider myself a leader. I got some issues. Would you help me?
Yes, because you know what? Leaders are made, and a lot of times a person do not know that they have leadership skills or abilities. A lot of times when we are on our journey to discovering who we are, you know, we that those type of things unfold. So I assist women in all walks of life, whether they are just a housewife or whether they are a CEO of their own firm, because I really believe that no one wakes up and says, you know what, today I want to live below my potential. So it has to be someone in place to assist those individuals in becoming empowered and finding their own voice, and that's where I come into play.
Okay. Now, do you have any, you know, you said you don't get caught up in titles or anything, but I want to ask, do you have any degrees, doctrines and all? Do you have any of those?
No.
I'm being sarcastic, but I want you to answer.
Oh, yeah, of course. The funny thing about it is, no, I do not hold a doctorate degree. But I will tell you this. My first name is Sonia, and it means wisdom. My middle name is Monique, and it means to counsel and to give advice to. So early on, I saw that I was being used in that capacity, and people will often ask me, do you have a degree as a psychologist? Do you have a degree as a counselor? And I said, no, because they were so amazed that what God has placed on inside of me is no title or degree that's attached to it. It's just the wisdom that's coming straight from heaven, and it's allowing people to experience tremendous results. I do have a degree, associate degree as a respiratory therapist in the medical field. And working in the medical field, being on the front line, helping doctors save lives, you begin to become more compassionate. You see that your patients talk to you about the issues of life, and you discover that a lot of times their issues are tied to unforgiveness and bitterness. So you even find yourself mentoring and coaching even in that capacity. So being a service provider, it is the greatest platform to assist you and assist me into helping others.
Okay. I mean, that's awesome. I'm just sitting here amazed at what you're saying is so true, and we get so caught up with all of that when it comes to, oh, no, she can't tell me nothing. She don't have this. She don't have that. We get so caught up in it, we miss the whole concept of learning that, man, maybe I don't need that in order for her to tell me what, you know, what's going on with me. You know, we think we need to sit in front of a psychiatrist or psychologist or whatever and tell them our problems, when you can take somebody who doesn't have all that, because the gift from God is a gift from God. Nobody can dispute that, no matter what you're saying. And you don't have need a degree to have that gift. And it's all about how you use your gift.
Exactly, and that is the case with me. You know, I'm all for education. But when the Lord told me to step out, I felt like a Moses or a Jeremiah. I felt underqualified, but yet I had to walk in obedience because guess what? Not one time when a woman came to me did they say, let me see your credentials before you assist me. They came to me wanting to be fixed, wanting to be helped. So I am doing a disservice to them and to God if I say, well, I can't help you because I'm not a quote-unquote certified life coach, or I'm not a quote-unquote this or that. because the issues that are coming to me is not something that where they need to sit. Or they may feel as though they need a psychiatrist, but really all they need is a touch from God through a willing vessel.
Exactly. Exactly. Now, do you just talk to women in general? Do you talk to teenagers? Do you talk to little girls? Who do you usually talk to?
My main audience is women, grown women, 18 plus. The calling that's on my life, I do desire to work with the youth. However, in this season that I'm in, it's mainly women. I have had over the years and months, even within the past few weeks, you know, leaders who are men that may just reach out to me on a ministry level for prayer and things of that nature. But when it comes to coaching and really equipping individual and training them, my main audience are women.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, so can you give me a scenario and how do you handle some of the scenarios dealing with women when it comes to empowering them?
Well, it all starts with, you know, it all starts with their reasons. What is the issue at hand? You know, why are they lacking self-worth? And we know that self-worth is the value that one assigns to herself. Why are they lacking self-confidence, which is the feeling of uncertainty, you know, in yourself and your abilities? And we sit down and we assess the situation. If a person comes to me and they say, you know what, I'm just having issues to where, you know, I cannot hold on to a good relationship or friendship, but let's see what's going on. And when we assess the situation and we get to the root of it, it may have been past abuse that person has experienced. It may have been where someone told them they would never amount to anything, so they feel as though this is the highest they can go. This is the highest level they can reach. So it's all about really assessing the situation and getting to the root cause. Because I firmly believe if you're going to tackle something, don't just do a patchwork job. You know, get to the root of the issue and pluck it up so you can move forward with your life.
Okay. Now, do you deal with a lot of domestic? Do you, we have what we call here, can't even think, Hope House, okay. Do you deal with a lot of women that are in battered situations that are trying to get out, or do you just deal with a lot of everyday women who just have everyday problems? You know what I'm saying? When I say everyday problem, I mean a working woman who's, you know, trying to deal with her husband, you know, trying to deal with the kids, or do you deal or trying to make a decision whether or not she should continue the career path that she's going on, and do you also deal with domestic violence? Because I know with this type of thing, domestic violence go hand in hand.
Yes, domestic violence is very serious. And over the years, no, I do not lately. Over the years, I have had it where individuals come to me, you know, women in ministry who have went to their pastor, and they're like, you know what, my husband is abusing me, and the pastor is like, stay with him. And
exactly.
And they come to me fear for their life and for their children's life, saying, what do I do? And like I said, the first thing you're supposed to do is find a safe haven. Get up out of there, you know. And so I'm really sensitive when it comes to that, and I don't take it lightly because, for one, I was a child of a domestic abusive situation. I grew up in a house where my mother used to get abused by her first husband, and he used to abuse me. So I know it's something that's very serious, and you only can do so much as a coach. So you have to know your boundaries. But when it comes to that, the first thing that's more important than anything is, you know what, that person don't need counseling right now. That person needs a safe place so they can live another day. So they need to get to their local authorities. And that's usually how I direct those situations because, once again, I'm not a licensed counselor, and I make that very clear. And when you're dealing with domestic violence situations, you have to be very clear because there's legality in it.
Exactly. Now, do you do a lot of speaking engagements? Because I also saw that you're a motivational speaker. So do you do a lot of speaking engagements?
I have. You know, I'm just amazed because last year I took the speaking platform, and I started out just doing virtual presentations, getting invited to different virtual conferences. And I had a few in person. speaking engagements. Well, this year, the Lord has really blessed me, and starting next month, I'm booked all the way up until the fall as far as speaking engagements. So, yes,
what?
I do. Yes, do speaking engagements, and I'm really blessed because I love sharing my story. And at one point, I was afraid and just fearful of sharing my story, my testimony, what I've been through, but it has been the launching pad of being used mightily to assist others in breaking down their barriers and limiting beliefs. So I really love the speaking platform.
Oh, man. I think that's awesome. Now, I'm going to get a little personal. Are you married and do you have any kids?
I am not married. I do not have any children.
Okay, so you have plenty of time to do everything. Awesome.
Yes, I'm enjoying this
like
season.
I'm just saying like it is. You don't have to worry about the husband, the cat, the dog, and nothing. You can do whatever you want.
I just get up and go. The Lord says go, and I go.
Exactly. Hand with bags in hand. Don't even have to look back. Make sure the door is locked, and that's it. Man,
yep.
Now have you thought about writing about this? Because
writing,
yeah.
Yes, I do have some book projects in the making as we speak, and
okay.
Hopefully, my first published book will be published the later half of this year.
Okay, good. Because then I can bring you back again too.
Sure.
Because that's basically what a lot of what I do is I interview a lot of authors, and that's why I said that. Now, celebrating Women's History Month, what does it mean to you? What does it mean to you as a woman when we celebrate Women's History Month? How does it make you feel?
Well, you know, when I think of the word celebration, you know, I look and I'm like, you know what? Celebrating a woman is you celebrating a whole woman. You celebrating that woman becoming true to herself, becoming one with herself, who God has created her to be. She's not trying to be a replica. She's not just focused on the exterior, the outer beauty, but she's a whole woman. And to celebrate
mm-hmm.
her, you know, body, mind, and spirit, to celebrate her accomplishments and how she is impacting her world, that's what
mm-hmm.
celebrating is to me, not okay, I'm celebrating you because just of one aspect of you, but every area of your life, we're celebrating
mm-hmm.
you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now, do you have any heroes or, other than God, do you have any female heroes that you like to take some of their aspects or their ways or their, you know, their personality traits that are positive? Do you use any of those in anything that you do?
Actually, I don't. And
okay.
I love motivational quotes and things like that, and I love Helen Keller and things of that
mm-hmm.
nature. But to actually look at one person or several people and say, yes, I love that aspect about them, I really try to stay away from that. And the reason being, and it may sound weird to some, but the reason being is that sometimes we can get too caught up when we're on our way up the ladder and what God has for us. We can get too caught up in what that person is doing. A good example is, you know, individuals would see how I was being used to assist women, and they
okay.
would say, oh yeah, she's the next Oprah, and I would quickly correct them, and I say, no, there's only one Oprah, and I will never
yeah.
be like her. Not in an offensive
yeah.
way, but no one can do what Oprah does but Oprah because that's the assignment on her life. So
yes.
if I would begin to, you know, really feed off of that and let individuals puff me up for that, then I would begin to just study everything that Oprah does and to the point to where, oh, my gosh, I'm not trying to be the woman that God has created me to be, but I'm trying to be
mm-hmm.
a replica of Oprah because someone
yeah.
told me I'm the next this. So I'm very careful with, you know, there's nothing wrong with looking at different individuals. Oh, yeah, she's inspiring or that person is inspiring. But to call someone my hero or shero, no.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Oprah, nothing against her, but the idea that she literally, you have people that literally worship her. That's scary.
Very.
I mean, that spiritually, that is very, very scary because people literally worship that lady. And I don't get it. I don't understand, but anyway, I wouldn't want to be labeled after her either. Not me. So you basically, you're on your own. You do what you have to do. You're counseling. What else do you do other than actually run your business? Because some people have, other things that they like to do that's inspiring to other people.
Well, I'm proud to say that today I launched my administrative business, and it's called Hands of Point Administrative Services. I am very excited about this. People have been flooding my inbox all day requesting services, so I'm, so thankful. But with that, what I do is it's an administrative firm, and we specialize in webinar and teleseminar support, but we also think it's other services that we provide, such as we create customized workshops, because we know a lot of people are desiring to host workshops to generate multiple streams of income. We create startup websites. We write the content if you are in ministry or if you desire a company handbook or manual. We also do those type of things and so much more. So I'm very excited because what I desire to do is use every gift that I have been given and share that gift with the world to assist those people, along their journey, whether it's in business or whether it's some aspect of their personal life.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, how long you said you were – are you just basically now an entrepreneur? You don't have what we call, quote-unquote, a regular job.
Actually, I am what I just discovered. I am in a transition season. And I want to share this. I want to share this because I think it's very important that listeners get it, that just because you are given the vision or idea doesn't mean it's going to happen overnight. So you have to humble yourself and go through the process. So right now, I'm literally on the verge of walking full-time into my businesses at home. So what I am right now is a respiratory therapist, and I work 12-hour shifts, anywhere from 36 to 50 hours a week in the hospital, and I still have found time to birth out these businesses.
Okay.
I still found time to birth out these businesses, and I just bless God because I told God I want to be an example to others of how to get it done. So when someone comes to me and say, you know what, Sian, I'm working 40 hours a week and I don't have any time to get it done, I'm like, yes, you do. That's an excuse because I'm doing that and so much more. And then they say, well, you don't have any children. You don't have this and that, but I have a family who depends on me. And during that time when I was behind the scenes, staying up late at night, getting a couple of hours of sleep, having to go to work, working graveyards at that, I was taking care of sick loved ones. I was driving individuals to the doctor. I still was serving in my community. I still was full-time in ministry. I still was getting it done. Because one thing about a person who is not married and do not have any children is, guess what? They still feel that void with other things, other tasks.
Mm-hmm.
So I was always doing something.
Exactly. And they don't understand that. They don't get that. Oh, you're single. You can do anything you want. It's not always like that. Because you do find other things. That's why you're able to do all the things that you do. Because you found other things to take up that time in your life. And believe me, sweetie, stay single. No, I'm just kidding. Stay single as long as you can. Enjoy it. I don't know why people are so in a hurry to get married. What is this desperation? Me and another author was talking, and we're still trying to grasp the concept of why everybody is so in a hurry to get married. Do you understand that?
Well, I'll tell you one thing. Number one, and I'm a straightforward person. Number one, people do not understand that marriage is truly a ministry. It's nothing to be played around with. Just because, how can I say this in a nice way? Just because you're ready to have a warm body in your bed does not mean that you're ready for marriage. So it's very important that you understand what you're getting into and what marriage is all about. Going from when you're single, you're in a ministry. You're married to God, but when you transition and now you become as one with your husband or wife, that's a totally different ministry and a whole new ball game. And it's not your time to say, whew, I finally found a woman. Now you have to dig deeper. two people are coming together as one. So it's the personality. Yeah. It's a lot of things that's going on, you know, in that marriage. So a lot of people, you know, you see that the divorce rate is high and stuff like that, but they did not go through that process. I have actually had people to tell me, like, you know what, like, I know I married the wrong person. You know, like, I know I rushed this. And I'm like, okay, Lord, teach me how to be a wife right now. Teach me through their experience and what they're sharing with me so I won't make those same mistakes. Because when my time does come, I'm in it. I'm in it because I recognize that if the Lord has brought this man of God in my life and we are becoming together as one, it's for his purpose.
Yeah.
You know, we may get some purpose and pleasure out of it, but it's for his purpose, and there's an assignment that's tied to that marriage. So people have to really understand what marriage is all about.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of times they don't. I can say I'm very proud of my age. I'm 49 years old. I got married at 38. Okay? Never been married before, had boyfriends, had all the drama. When I decided at 38 years old, the scariest thing I ever did in my life to me, and I've done a lot of stuff, this was the scariest. I got down on my knees and I asked God. I didn't make the decision myself. I said, God, do you think this is what I need to do? I told him how fearful I was of it and everything. And it's like I woke up the next morning after I did it, that next morning, and I felt better because he allowed me to know, go ahead, do it. I couldn't have done it any other way because I would have told him no. And he had already asked me like three times because I was just that afraid knowing that my life is never going to be the same again. And that's another thing we don't expect. Life will never be the same once you make that decision to get married, especially if you want to be in a marriage that's going to last. Me and my husband, we've been married 10 years now. If you knew me back then, you would have never in a million years think that I would stay with somebody that long. Because at the time, my average of a boyfriend was 2 to 3 years. After that, you had to go. So to me, to make it to the hurdle where I'm at now, it is very much so an accomplishment for me because I always had this concept, and it is a lot of hard work. It is a lot of compromising. It is a lot of agreeing and disagreeing. People think that when you get married, everything is going to be wonderful. No, that's when a whole new life is about to begin because you're no longer by yourself. Just like you just said, you're no longer doing this by yourself. It's two people. And when you make that decision, it's a lot of stuff you don't have to put up with. And then there's stuff that, you know what, maybe I was a little bit overzealous. Maybe I should have calmed down some. We have to go back and do that. And there's nothing wrong with being a big person and apologizing. And that's something we want to cuss, we want to holler and scream, and we want the drama. I don't like all that. I don't like all the drama that goes with it. I don't have a lot of people. And another thing, when people get married, they want to have everybody and their brother in their business. That's why you have to wind up talking to you, is because they've allowed all these other people to get into their business and tell them what to do with their husbands. And especially when you have a lot of single friends. Okay? When you have a lot of single friends don't want you happy anyway. You know? They just don't. Oh, I seen him, and girl, you should never let him do that to you. But there is two words I do not use in my marriage, let and allow. Those two words we don't use in our marriage because no man can let me do anything, and nobody's going to have to give me permission to do anything because when I married him, I was a grown woman, and I just don't use those two key words in my marriage. No, not when it comes to to tell me what I can do and what I can't do, because you know I'm not in the marriage to do anything wrong. I'm in it to grow and to learn and to, you know, grow together. Oh, whatever, you know. But I'm not into that. But that's just my perception, and that's how I did. And the idea that I'm making the point. I went all over, and I shouldn't have. But what I was trying to do, the point I was trying to make is, I waited till I was 38. I wasn't 26. I wasn't 15, I wasn't 13, I wasn't 25. I was at a very mature age because my son at the time was 18. So, I mean, there's no kids at the house. My son now is 30, and it's just me and the dogs and my husband. So I don't have to, you know, I had that time, and I'm glad that I did, because it still is a learning process. Now, when it comes to the ideal, now, okay, enough about that. I had something I wanted to ask you just in my mind. I'm sorry, I do that sometimes. I got a question for you. Tell me, if I wanted to do what you're doing, start a business, what should I do?
Well, first of all, have a clear vision of what you're trying to do.
Yeah.
My problem was I knew my purpose. I knew my purpose was to empower women and work with youth across the nation. However, you know, what I did with that information was I opened my mouth to the wrong people.
I opened
my mouth to the wrong people, and I allowed them to taint my vision. And it set me back 5 years, because I got my purpose. The Lord spoke my purpose to me in November 2007. He had me on a fast track. So by February 2008, I should have had my business up and running and making money. That's how quickly he worked with me and uses me. But that didn't happen because guess what? I was in a toxic relationship, you know, and was suffering financial abuse, you know, and letting him drain me. I was surrounded by the wrong friends, and I had more friends telling me that it couldn't be done than friends saying, go forth, girl, with it. We support you. So it was all these different things I was allowing in. I was allowing to feed me, and those things were toxic to my purpose and my vision, and it almost cost me my destiny. So I really had to take a step back and allow God to take out his spiritual toolbox and his spiritual tools and to really shape and mold me and get the wrong people out. And that's one thing that I really want to stress is that when you are prepared to start a business and you know it's ordained by God, you have to be prepared to let go of some people. You have to be prepared to lose some people, and you need to really pray, Lord, prepare my heart for that, because what's going to happen is if you do not prepare yourself, I don't care how great the vision is, if you don't ask God to really prepare you and you start meditating on that, then that's what you're feeding, and whatever you feed is going to get bigger and bigger. So now you're not even concentrating on birthing out the business, but you're concentrating on, oh, Johnny Boy and everybody else that you had to let go of that really wasn't attached to your purpose anyway. So I would tell people, keep clear on the vision first. Once you get clear on the vision, ask the Lord to start giving you strategies. Start asking God to give you strategies as to how to birth out what he has placed on the inside of you. Once you get your strategy, just take it step by step, one step at a time. Sometimes when we look at the big picture, we get overwhelmed. We lose momentum thinking that it can't be done. But all you have to do is take it one day at a time, 1 hour at a time, 1 minute at a time, and 1 second at a time. And all those little steps is going to lead to your big results. I did not start. Right now, people look at me, and they're like, oh, my gosh, Sonya, you got the radio show coming out. You got the administrative. Oh, my gosh, you're helping people, this and that. And they're looking as though, like, wow, where did she come from? But it was on the inside of me all that time. But it took me 5 whole years from the time that the Lord originally spoke to me to get it right, because I wanted to throw my tantrums. I wanted to do it my way. Sometimes when he spoke, I'm like, Lord, it can't be you telling me to do that. But it was. We have to know that we don't know how it's going to get birthed out, you know, and manifest itself, but we know it will. Only thing we have to do is stay course and to continue to take action. But a lot of times we lose focus. So you have to get clear on the vision. If you're not clear on your vision, you're like, well, I think he wants me. I think I'm supposed to do this. You're not clear enough on the vision. So don't even waste your time trying to start something if you're really not clear on it. Because through trial and error, I was like, oh, my gosh, I wasted a lot of money and a lot of sleepless nights and I wasn't even doing it his way. You know, so once you get that vision down, you write it down, and really and truly you look at it every single day and just follow his strategy. No matter how crazy it sounds, just follow the strategies that he gives you, and you will stay on top of it, and it'll get birthed out. it will get burnt out. And I'm talking about strategies, just not spiritual, you know, realistically.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's going to give
mm-hmm.
you strategies to where it's like, okay, Lord, I don't have money to create a website, to pay a web designer. Well, he'll lead you to a free business tool to use in order for you to get that web presence in that season. You know, so you
mm-hmm.
have to recognize what season you're in and embrace that season, not trying to keep up with the Joneses or look like you're something that you're not or trying to fake it until you make it, but just humble yourself and go through the process. You're still going to get to his expected end, but you have to
mm-hmm.
be clear and have your strategies and your systems in place to get it done.
Okay. Very good advice. Lovely, lovely, lovely advice. Now, another thing, you have to have faith to know that it's going to happen, but you have to be
hmm.
patient, too. Sometimes we get this going and we expect to be millionaires overnight. That's when it comes to doing your own business. People have that. I don't know why, and it hasn't changed too much with a lot of people, that the idea that, oh, I'm going to be rich. I'm going to be a millionaire when this is all over with. Oh, yes, yes. But that's not what we should be looking for. We should look for the idea that if I have a business, I'm going to serve somebody. I am providing a service for somebody. But in return, I want to get paid for that service. But it's still a service. And
mm-hmm.
you're expecting to get billions in a matter of months. And I'm not saying it's not possible because it depends on what you're selling or what you're providing. But it's not necessarily the way it always goes, especially with brand new entrepreneurs that's just getting out there, starting off, and especially when they don't have the correct instructions. You understand what I'm saying? They don't have any guidelines and they don't have anybody guiding them or even mentoring them in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't
exactly.
have the resources. So you have to, it's like you have to start from, okay, this is my idea, like you said, strategize, put it together. Now it's time for me to put it into action. Do I have all the tools to put it into action? It's not necessarily always about the money because, like you said, you can always start. I started off just free websites, just
mm-hmm.
doing free websites, get it out there. It still pushes the same way. People can still go to them. People can still interact on them. Then move on to something different. As you make your money, you take that money and you spend it towards your overhead, making sure you're able to take care of your overhead. And a lot of people don't know that. They want to do it real quick and fast, don't want to, you know, do it the correct way. It's so amazing that you said it. For example, this young man, he has his own store right now, but he has to order the items or the product. And I said, I know what I'm going to do for him. If you're going to be a service provider type business, you need to have your products in stock. They need to be already there. And if you have to replace an item, your customer should never have to wait 2 and 3, 5, 6 days for the product to come back. You should have that product in place already. So I said, those are little things. People, if they listen, if they don't, that's fine. If they don't abide by it, that's fine. But at least you're telling them this because it's going to benefit. And I think that's a lot of stuff that you do. Your coaching is to get them to the point where, okay, this is how I feel about myself, but I want to feel like this. And this is what I'm able to do. This is what I'm able to do for you. Is that basically how your business is set up?
Yes, you know, my business, when the Lord gave it to me, I looked at what I had lacked, you know, when I had hired a coach. And
mm-hmm.
it was, okay, I can help you on the personal side. And I see that business aspect, the business calling on your life, but I really am not equipped to help you there. So with
okay.
Elite, it's set up to where we are equipping them and training them through comprehensive training and development programs for their personal life to get them, you know, in position, because
okay.
so they can see it. Because, you know, you
mm-hmm.
have to see, you have to believe it in order for it to manifest itself. So we get
uh-huh.
them to a point to where, okay, I know it, I can do it, and it shall come to pass. And then we use our resources by partnering
mm-hmm.
up with other organizations
mm-hmm.
to assist them to where it's like, okay, now I believe that I'm supposed to start my own business. Okay, well, then we're going to walk you through the phases to where you're not just jumping out there and not knowing nothing. Because you know
exactly.
what? It's true. If you lack knowledge, you will perish. You know, that's
exactly.
that business without a brain get started and everything. No one taught me that I needed to secure my business name or I needed to have a domain name, or they didn't teach me all of those things. It was like, okay, Lord, what do I need to know? Download the business wisdom I need in order to get this
mm-hmm.
done, because I felt as though I was going around the mountain. And then he began to connect me with individuals that was helping me. He began to lead me to resources, and I began to self-educate myself. And that's
mm-hmm.
how, you know, I began to, okay, well, I'm doing, you know, a business formation and things of that nature. Because
mm-hmm.
I had to do that myself. I didn't have anyone. I didn't have the money. I didn't have an extra $800 a month to hire a business
mm-hmm.
coach. I didn't have that.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, okay,
yeah.
Lord, I need you. And he really led me. He really led me to those things. So, you know, I learned that image is not everything. Image is important and branding is important, but when you're starting out, don't get so caught up in the image that you forget to build your trust with individuals, that you forget to build relationships with that person.
Exactly.
You don't want that person just to fall in love with a website, but you want a long-term relationship with that individual. That's why
right.
people are so connected with me, because I make time to get to know that person. I want to know, how can I serve that person? I don't come to an individual and say, oh, well, you know what, you're asking me for advice. So let's schedule a coaching session, and I'm going to charge you this. No, if the Lord places
yeah.
in my spirit to help them, that's what I do. I don't ask any questions and everything. So now people see, because what happened
yeah.
was, they'll see me do the post my inspirational things on Facebook and Twitter. But they really, I really didn't mention a lot about the business aspect. I poured into them spiritually, because the Lord told me to pour into them spiritually. Now when they see, oh my gosh, it's more to her than just the spiritual side, and they see the business side, they say, sorry, I didn't know you did all that. How can I invest in your services? It's no effort. I'm not selling myself. I'm not really advertising yet. They're coming to me because it's divine. This is my divine assignment.
Yeah.
I don't focus on just taking their money. No, I focus on building their relationship over the years, and now it's paying off.
Yes. But see, you know what? If that concept, people can understand that concept. It's a great concept, but people don't, you know, I got to make that money. Yeah, I hear what you're saying. But in my mind, I got to make that money. I got to build
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
So if I need to get over on somebody, I'm going to get over on them.
Exactly.
You know?
And a lot of people are in the hustling. A lot of people are in the hustling business. You know, one thing I love, and I talk so much about God, because he is protecting me, and it has helped me plenty of times to keep from partnering up with the wrong person about having this assignment. You know, and when I look at it, I'm like, oh my gosh, that person was telling me that, you know, they're making millions. But they're not even making millions. You're doing your research and they're not even making $10,000, they're making $100,000. You know, they're struggling, just like me, but they're taking my money that I'm trying to work hard for to pay them. So we have to be very careful not to get caught up in the image, because anyone can create an image. Anyone can create an image. You know, so we have to be just very careful, because there are a lot of individuals, you know, that, of course, with this whole economy and what people are saying about the economy, that they're in hustling mode right now. They don't care about you. They got mouths to feed. And so you have to be very careful, you know, to really build that trust with individuals to where they know you're not out to just get their money. Because if we wait on the timing of the Lord, then we will humble ourselves. I made a mistake, and, you know, I'm not working. I'm not doing secular work. He gave me this business, and I'm going to go for it. And that cost me a lot, you know, and everything. And I said, Lord God, when that opportunity come back around, I'm going to do it exactly how you have told me to do it. So now, yes, I'm putting in the hard work. And, yes, it's very uncomfortable, and, yes, it's short-term discomfort, but guess what? It's for long-term comfort. So if I have to pull 12-hour shifts and still work on the business after those 12-hour shifts and only get a few hours of sleep, it's going to pay off in the end, because he's going to reward me. He's going to reward me for my faithfulness and my obedience to what he has told me. But if I would have left out of the workforce before it's time, then I would have missed what he was showing me, that, you know what, that job, it's the way I'm providing your increase so you can sow into the business, which is my ministry. So we have to really use wisdom and wait on the time of the Lord. If it is not time for you to leave that job, then don't leave it. Just go ahead and dig deep and put in the hard work, and just know, hey, you say you're going to be a business owner, then you're going to wear many hats in the beginning, and you're going to have lots of sleepless nights.
Yeah.
So just get
yeah.
it done. But don't leave that job, and then you're just, and the Lord didn't tell you to move, because guess what? Now you're outside of his will, and now you're praying every night saying, Lord, please, 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 I need to pay my rent. But you left the job. So you have to be very careful that we use wisdom while we are building these empires and these businesses and ministries for God.
I like the way you said that. That's when the hustle starts coming on and the desperation. And, man, I shouldn't write this check, but I got to because I ain't got no other choice.
Mm-hmm.
And you're doing a lot of stuff that you really should have waited on to do if you just been a little bit patient. And I think, too, and I celebrate any entrepreneur, especially any female entrepreneur, they,
mm-hmm.
mainly us. African American entrepreneurs. To me, that's an awesome thing, and it's become a way of where now that's what people are gearing toward. And it's amazing that we get these degrees, and we come out of these colleges, we got a debt that we probably won't ever get paid off, and there's no job.
Mm-hmm.
So. They're saying now the ideal that women and men are coming out of college and they're starting their business, and they're saying they're more likely to be successful with them being entrepreneurs than if they go and get a job or work for somebody.
Yes.
So what you're doing is awesome. And I take my hat off to any entrepreneur, because that's always been in my heart. I'm prior military. I worked for the VA. My last job was with the VA. And I decided to resign so that I could focus on things that I want to do. Now that I'm in school, I'm still in school, because it's a dream of mine to have a degree for what I don't know, but I wanted to go ahead and accomplish that because that's one of my things I wanted to accomplish in my life. But in the meantime, being an entrepreneur, I've been that. I love it. I love the ideal that I can, you know, get up when I want to, talk to who I want to, take care of business when I want to. To me, that's a freedom. I don't know how else, you know, that's an awesome freedom. To not to deal with people only when you need to. And I'm not saying I'm not a people person. I had to be. And I always have. And plus, not only do I do this show, I also have a talk show. I co-host a talk show on our local radio station. So I'm constantly in the eyes of the people, and I talk to people constantly all the time. But there is a time when if I don't want to be bothered, golly, I don't have to get up and get dressed and go anywhere. You know, I can stay at home. And I don't have to have anybody looking over my shoulder and telling me what I can and cannot do and watching the clock on me. I love the ideal of the freedom of doing what you want. I think it's awesome. But they're saying now that is what the new thing is, that people are gearing toward not working for somebody else, but creating their own jobs, their
exactly.
own corporations. Because
exactly.
that's what it should have been. Well, that's what
exactly.
America was built
exactly.
on.
Exactly, and you hit it right on the head. Because what we see, we're not taught. See, we're taught the American dream. You go to college, you have 2.5 kids, and,
yep.
you know, we're taught all of this. And we
yep.
have been conditioned to live beyond our means. We create all this mm-hmm. unnecessary debt. No one teaches
yep.
us in elementary school, high school,
mm-hmm.
and college about purpose.
Yep.
You know, no one is, they have all these college assessments and all this other stuff, but where's the purpose assessment? Where is to where I can truly, you know, hone in on my natural gifts and talents, and then that way I'm not wasting my time in all this discovery mode with all these different degrees, and then get out and all I have is $100,000 of debt and no job. You know, so yes, individuals are being smart because they have realized that they have bought into a lie, and the American dream does not exist anymore.
Exactly.
You know that it was all. You know, it's so many people, and I said. I desire for Elite Institute of Development Inc. to birth out business disciples God's way, you know, on his terms, not trying to do it according to the next business model that comes out, but
yeah.
according to what he has placed on the inside of you to do. and to do it the legal way, to have your foundations and your systems in place to where your business will be successful and it won't be short-lived. But there's not enough individuals that are teaching concerning purpose to build a business based on your unique gifts and talents. It's always based on, okay, well, now it's, this is the next big idea. But when are we going to embrace the God idea? We're so far away from his original plans and purposes for our life. And now people are, I look at it like the Matrix. Many are still in that zombie state. And then those of us who have been shaken and plugged into, you know, kingdom, we are in perfect position and in this perfect season to assist individuals. I can reach those who have served in the military. You could, because guess what? You know, that's the journey you had to take. But the journey I had to take dealing with abuse and low self-worth and things like that, I can help my part of the world. And when we do our part, you know, and we are in perfect alignment with the purpose, then we can really advance some things. Then we can really see change. But right now, many of individuals, they know that there's something more to life. But I hear this, well, you know, I'm kind of stuck at the job. Well, this and that. And I'm like, you're never just stuck. I mean, God can get you unstuck. You know, it may take a little while when you have children or, you know, a job and you have those responsibilities, a mortgage and things of that nature. But it's still possible. It is still possible, you know. Yep. So you have to have faith, and you can't let that light of faith, you know, die out. You cannot allow anyone to steal your dream. There were plenty of people that told me, "Saint girl, you ain't going nowhere. You're going to be in that small town forever. Girl, nobody never did that. You think these people going to let you do something like that?" But I don't care about those people. I know what the Lord has told me, and what I'm trying to do is beyond what most can comprehend. You know, so why share that with those type of people? Stick to your Father, and he'll put the right people in your life that will get it done. Money is not an issue with God. Money is not an issue with God. Pray for favor, and you watch how people show you favor. You're like, oh, my gosh, this man, oh, I didn't have to do anything but be obedient. Oh, my gosh, you'll be surprised how many people is just ready to be a blessing to you. But how can they know you if you stay in hiding? You have to become unplugged and get plugged into the right source.
Exactly. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, you sister.
It's the truth.
Girl, you go, sister. But yeah.
It's the truth.
That is so awesome what you just said. That is so awesome. You think I'm just saying that, but, I mean, you when you hear from other people, I love listening to people talk. And you have that voice where you sit up and you can really hear what you're saying. It's plain and simple. It's not above my head. And you are so right. All those degrees, and you still working majority of time minimum wage, because you're not going to find a job, especially us. We don't find jobs in what we go to school for. We don't. If it's not, and then another thing too, with schools, if you take business classes, like I'm in business, guess what? The person who's teaching me business don't have their own business. The professor that's teaching me don't have his own business. So like you say, it's a lie. You got all that debt coming out, and when it's all over with, he really didn't teach you none, especially when you're dealing with business. Lawyers, you think about lawyers. Lots of them lawyers, the professors that teach law, they don't have their own firms. Sure, they're making money off of being a professor.
True.
They're making their money off of the teaching part of it. So you're teaching me about business law. You're teaching me about business in general, but you don't own anything. You work for the school. So it is a really misconception about having all these degrees, and when it's all over, like you said, $100,000 debt, and nothing wrong with President Obama pushing going to school, education, but people don't realize, you know what that is? That's indebting yourself to the federal government, especially when you take a federal loan.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
That's Southern debt.
Exactly.
So how do you ever get out?
Exactly. And I tell people, I'm all for education. I know there has to be people in the workplace. You know, there has to be doctors in place and things of that nature. And I'm all for that. But know why you have been put here on this earth. That way, if let's say the call on your life is a doctor, you have to take that route and go to school, then
yes.
You know what? When you get out, everything will fall into place, and you'll get the skills, you'll get everything you need. And if your heart desire is to have your own practice, then it will happen without effort, because that's what you have been called to do. But with many people, they're just finding their way. Somebody told them when they get out of high school, either you work or you go to school. And now it's just the only option is, okay, go to school. But what I'm discovering is that many people have come to me, and the free money, a lot of the free money is being phased out, and it's being set up to where you have no choice but to take out loans. So you better know your purpose. You better know your purpose, because guess what? If you have to accumulate a little debt to get in your purpose, and guess what? God is going to give you such a great return on your investment. But if you're not being obedient to his original plan and purpose for your life, then he's not obligated to bless you. So we have to be, but no one, and you can't fault the individual, because like I said, it's all about just having lack of knowledge, not being educated. And that's why I want to do what I can do as a position and to assist individuals who come to me and desire to discover their purpose and walk in their purpose. And I want to be there for them through those various phases.
Okay. Now, Ms. Sales, how would we contact you if we wanted to? Now, where are you from?
I am from Texas.
Okay, you're in Texas. All right, you're down there with my girlfriend.
Yeah.
Now,
yes.
If we wanted to get in contact with you for any reason, how would we go about doing it?
Sure, the easiest way, since I do have an umbrella corporation, the easiest way is to call the toll-free number. It's
1-800-225.
225-08-49. Yes.
So it's 1-800-225-0849.
Yes, ma'am, and that is the toll-free number to our corporate website, Elite Institute of Development, Inc. They can also visit our corporate website, which is www.theeliteinstitute.com.
Okay, make sure I put that on my Facebook page. Okay. I truly enjoyed this interview. I hope you had a great time talking to my crazy self. And I don't make no excuses. I'm not all there. I blame it on the military, but I'm not all there. I want to thank you very much for coming on my show Through the Eyes of the Black Woman, celebrating with us Women's History Month. Once you get that book done, I would love to invite you back. Make sure you let me know that you have your book completed, and we can bring you on the show and we can talk about your book.
Okay. I will. I will definitely do that, and thank you so much for having me on. It was definitely an honor.
And you have a great evening and have a great weekend, and happy Easter, because I know by the time I talk to you again, it'll be gone. So I want to say happy Easter and stay safe, and thank you again. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
This has been another episode of Through the Eyes of the Black Woman with your host, Salida. We want to thank you for listening in, and stay tuned for more.